Next on NPR's From the Top.
Father! Mom! They won't leave me alone!
I'm not sure how Mrs. Michelle handles it. It's a madhouse.
I just go in my room and shut the door. I take a time out.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from Wilson Auditorium in Bozeman, Montana, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a teenage flutist playing Copeland, and, as you just heard, roving reporter Taja Coleman-Jones reports on a story of mayhem in the home of a 12-year-old harpist. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. It's great to be here with you in Bozeman doing our very first show in Montana. Special thanks to the Classics for Kids Foundation and the Hans Sari Memorial Fund for bringing us here. Bozeman. Place where all the dental floss tycoons came to raise their families. One of the most laid-back places in the world, not to mention one of the most beautiful places on Earth, the Big Sky Country. It's just amazing to be here. Thank you. And yes, there's a cowboy legacy here in Montana, but these cowboys value arts education. You see, sometimes when we take our show to some of the more, well, out-of-the-way places, we have to look just a little harder to find kids who are good enough to be on our show. Not here. 6 out of the 8 young performers you'll hear today are from right here in Montana. Go figure. Be proud. Take our first ensemble, 3 sisters and 1 brother from the Werner family in Belgrade, right next door to Bozeman. 18-year-old Hélène, 16-year-old Lucien, 15-year-old Marielle, and 13-year-old André. They're pianists, too, but today they're going to let the rest of the country hear their pretty fabulous cello playing. Please welcome the Werner Cello Quartet. We have young Lucien at the mic. May I call you Luke?
Sure.
All right. Why, I'm your father. No, that's Luke, why all the beautiful French names in your family?
Well, our father's family is actually French, and in fact, one of our ancestors was mayor of Morlaix, a town in Brittany.
Okay.
And our mother speaks French, so it's kind of fitting that we all have French names. And it's such a beautiful language, and we love traveling in the country. It's really nice.
Beautiful names, and we have some beautiful playing to look forward to. Tell our audience what you guys are going to play.
We'll be playing the first 2 movements of the 6th Boccherini Cello Sonata in A major, originally for cello and piano, but today we'll be playing an arrangement of the sonata for cello solo and a 3 cello accompaniment.
Now, this is your own arrangement of
yes.
a piece written originally as a cello sonata. What, Luke, were the difficulties in taking that, well, I know it as a piano part, making it work for the 3 accompanying cellos?
Well, the main issue is, since we're all playing the same instrument, the frequency ranges are all basically identical. So when you put them all together, you tend to get a muddy sound. And so what I did when arranging this is I spread out the registers of the accompaniment voices to give it a clearer and less dense feeling, which I feel is kind of in keeping with the grace and elegance of the piece.
Yeah, Boccherini really brought the cello to the forefront.
Yes, he did.
Well, let's hear this gorgeous piece in your own setting for cello quartet. When you are ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you. Cello Quartet from Belgrade, Montana, next door to Bozeman. We heard the opening two movements of Luigi Boccherini's Sonata in A, arranged for cello quartet by eldest brother Lucien Warner. The eldest sister, Hélène, played the solo part. Hélène is 18, Lucien is 16, Marielle is 15, and André is 13. It's a beautifully transparent arrangement. Lucien, you mentioned that it was troublesome getting all the cellos to kind of thin out enough to make a nice texture. It's just so transparent, the way you've done it. It's a great achievement.
Thank you.
Hélène, no wonder you guys play that so well. You've sort of been given a Boccherini benediction, isn't that true?
Yes. We were in Italy this summer, actually, for a music festival at this beautiful little town, and we were having classes with Wolfgang Lehner from Kronberg Academy, and he actually has a bow of Boccherini. And so he let all of us play on it, and we played five cello, another Boccherini sonata, and it was great fun. So
it's really nice. Yeah.
Got the touch.
Yeah.
Now, these trips to Europe to study every summer, I guess they're arranged by your American teacher, Richard Aaron of the University of Michigan.
Yeah. Right.
But because he's in Ann Arbor and you guys are in Bozeman, you're using some cutting-edge technology to take lessons with him. Explain, Marielle, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, we actually do study the cello over video conferencing machine, and it's truly remarkable how well it works. After every lesson, feels like Mr. Aaron has been in the room with us, and we just feel so lucky to study with such an amazing teacher, and he's had the imagination and patience to really show how effective music study can be in this medium.
Teleconferencing lessons. Hélène, is it all, you know, serious business, or is there some fun and games going on?
No, there's some fun and games. Like, for instance, he often has a quick bite to eat before our lessons, and often he'll offer us his sandwich and stick it in front of the camera. There's some things video conferencing can't do, and that's one of them.
So. I guess not. André, your brother and sisters tell me that you do some pretty wicked impersonations almost immediately after meeting someone. Do you do your teacher, Mr. Aaron? I imagine a lot of time spent.
No, but I'll do one of you.
I guess we've got to hear this. You have to hand your cello off to do an impersonation of me?
Yep.
So, Chris, you are an amazing pianist, and it's a real pleasure for us to hear you. And when you grow up, whether you decide to become a concert pianist or something else, I'm sure you'll be a great success.
Gosh, I sound pretty good. You know, got rid of some of that Chicago twang that I grew up with. And I want to get back to Luke's arrangements. Luke, what got you started making arrangements for the cello quartet?
Well, with all four of us playing stringed instruments, it's really a great opportunity to play some chamber music. And since the cello quartet literature is not terribly extensive, and there's so much great music out there, it kind of made sense for us to start arranging some of it for our combination of instruments.
That's right. And you're not just arranging classical pieces. What other kinds of things are you doing?
Well, for the past few years, we've kind of had a tradition in our encores we do at our concerts to play some non-classical music. So about 3 years ago, we started with some Broadway show tunes. This year, we went totally crazy, and we actually did some rock and roll with electric cellos.
Electric cellos?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you wear outfits and stuff?
We do, yes.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, so are we going to get a taste of that maybe at the end of the show?
We are.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to look forward to that. All right. Thanks, guys. Fantastic.
André, Marielle, Lucien, and Hélène, the Werner Cello Quartet from Belgrade, Montana, just down the road.
From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Well, birthday greetings are due to our next teenage musician. She's turning 17 today, and she's the first of our two performers from outside of Montana. From San Jose, California, please welcome flutist Lauren Osaka. Lauren, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Would you be so kind as to introduce the piece you and I are going to play together?
We are going to be playing the third movement of Copland's Duo for Flute and Piano.
And actually, I'm proud to say your performance of this piece is, I should say, only one degree of separation from Aaron Copland himself. Tell everybody why that is.
I went to a summer program this summer called Tanglewood, and my teacher there, Dorio Dwyer, actually played the piece for Copland and gave me a few tips.
She was the principal flutist for the Boston Symphony for many years.
Yeah, a long time.
Fantastic musician. Yeah. Now, when we think about Copland, we think about such American-sounding music, sometimes capturing the world of the plains and cowboys, well, like the landscape here in Bozeman, for instance. Now, this piece is more modernist than that, but you've still got a really great sort of cowboy tale that you put with the music. Tell us.
Well, it kind of starts out with this cowboy or a bunch of cowboys, and they're on their way into town, and they're all these macho guys, and, you know, they're going to go party. So they go into a bar, and they meet these women, and, you know, they're kind of hanging out. And so there's this actually one part that's kind of indicative of the women, and they're, like, twirling skirts. And then these two cowboys start fighting over this one lady, and they go and have, like, an actual gunfight. But while they're off doing that, the women are stealing all the cowboys' stuff. So, and, you know, then it just degenerates from there into, like, a big fight. And the end, I always kind of thought of it as the end of a big Western movie, you know, like the closing credits.
Big closing credits.
Into the sunset.
The good, and the beautiful. You know. Amazing. An entire Western in 3.5 minutes. Let's do it, shall we?
Thank you.
Lauren Osaka, 17 years old today, from San Jose, California, playing the final movement of Aaron Copland's duo for flute and piano. I love that piece, and you obviously have a great affection for it.
Yeah.
The way the rhythm is just suffused with enthusiasm.
Thank you.
And your sound is quite wonderful, too.
Thanks.
So you mentioned your teacher at Tanglewood, Dorio mm-hmm. Dwyer. We hear a lot of stories about kids who love summer music camps because they get to be around other kids who care as much as they do about music, but come fall, they have to return to the real world of high school back home. Was that the kind of transition you had?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, you go back and you have to do academic stuff again and math homework, and there's really no one around to rant to about how cool Mahler is or Tchaikovsky. And you know.
It's too bad that they don't have that pop song, "Do You Know Foray in San Jose?" But I guess no such luck.
No.
Now, but you have an enthusiasm for food. I mean, your friends must share that with you.
Yeah, they do appreciate
that. How did you get started? I mean, because you really cook and stuff. I mean, so
yeah,
how did that start?
Well, I really like reading food blogs, and so I do a lot of that. But a couple weeks ago, my mom decided that all of us in the family should make dinner at least once a week. So at first, I was kind of angry about that. I was like, well, gosh, I have to practice and, you know, do stuff like that. But it actually turned out to be really fun.
Sure.
So I made like lamb curry and it was exciting.
Wow, lamb curry.
Yeah, it was
good
too.
What all goes in that? What's your favorite extraordinary?
Coconut milk. You have to put coconut milk in curry because, I mean, it's on the recipe. So you're supposed to, I don't know. But I never had before. It was really good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So you like new and interesting tastes, but is it true what I've heard that you've never tasted Coke or Pepsi? What's the story there?
Like I said, well, my parents, they never really were very fond of sodas and like all that sugary stuff, so they never let me have it when I was younger. And then when I got older and I got a chance to, I tried like Sprite, and you know, it was fun the first couple times, and and after that I decided I didn't like it, so I kind of stopped there, and you know.
That's so refreshing and yet so un-American, I think.
Yeah, I know.
So the whole taste test between the old Coke and new Coke is completely over your head. I imagine the only image that probably stayed in your memory was the idea that, you know, if you put a tooth in a glass of Coke,
that did stay in my memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so no Coke for your birthday, but tell me, what would be your ideal dinner out for this birthday? Where would you go? Anywhere in the world.
Well, ideally, I would go somewhere really cool in New York, probably like Nobu or something.
Nobu, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Happy birthday again, Lauren.
Thank you very much.
For the Copeland. It was great playing with you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Lauren Osaka, our 17-year-old birthday girl from San Jose, California. Now we're going to meet another classical kid from Montana, this time from Butte. Please welcome 18-year-old pianist Emily Stearns. Emily, I understand it's time for some fireworks. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Literally. Tell the audience what you're going to play.
I am going to be playing Fedarte Feast by Debussy.
It's a very, very difficult piece. I've played it a little while. What's the hardest part about it for you, would you say?
The first two pages and the arpeggios and the left hand in the middle section.
Okay, so you guys watching the play-by-play on this? Yeah. And what has been your favorite thing? I mean, the challenges are surfacing the piece, but...
Well, it's impressionistic, which means that I should try painting a picture on the piano. So I get to experiment with a lot of colors using the pedal, different techniques.
You do a great job with it, so we're going to hear it. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Debussy's Feux d'Artifice, otherwise known as Fireworks, played for us by 18-year-old pianist Emily Stearns from Butte, Montana. I love that piece, and you play it so well.
Thank you. Especially
that La Marseillaise at the end, that touching sort of nostalgic, sort of distant playing of that tune at the end is really quite remarkable. Beautiful piece. Emily is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. That means she gets the big bucks. Congratulations, Emily. Now, Emily, as always on From the Top, we like to talk to kids on this show about substantive matters, like the fact that you're a girl obsessed with duct tape.
Yes, duct tape. It mends everything but a broken heart.
Oh. How true.
Yes.
How true. Have you made things with duct tape?
I've made many things. I have a duct tape purse, a duct tape wallet, and I have a pair of boots that I covered in bright silver duct tape.
Nice. Can you pick up Montana Public Radio on them?
No? And actually, I have something for you.
Really?
Yes.
You made something for me?
A duct tape wallet with a From the Top logo on it.
Oh, nice. It's a truly authentic From the Top duct tape wallet because, of course, it's empty. But thanks just the same. And it looks a little bit like alligator skin, but I know, Emily, that would not fly with you. You describe yourself as a hardcore environmentalist.
Yes, I think it's mean to use crocodile skin.
Do you do a lot of recycling?
I do. I don't throw anything away. And I recycle every bit of paper that I can, even the little pieces of paper off of Hershey's Kisses. And I carry a hand towel with me so that I don't have to use the paper towels in public bathrooms.
That's fantastic. So you're a real tree hugger.
I am.
I think there's even... Tell the truth, is there really a picture of you hugging a tree?
Yes, my friend Brianna has a picture of me hugging a tree, and it's her her picture on her cell phone for me, and
that's right. Yeah,
that's the picture that comes up. I don't know what it's called. But
Joanne, we're going to have to get a picture of Emily hugging a tree on the From the Top website, don't you think?
Can do.
That's a good idea. Well, Emily... good for you for taking such committed personal action. We're all going to have to make those kinds of changes, each one of us, to do our part to affect climate
change.
That's
very true. But Chris, I don't think this show does a very good job of reducing its environmental footprint.
We don't?
No. I mean, just look at that script of yours.
I never do that.
No. I'm talking about the paper, Chris.
Oh.
The amount of paper you guys use is so wasteful.
I guess so.
No, look at that. The type is all double-spaced and spread out. And would it kill you to print on both sides?
No, probably not.
No, I mean, seriously, you're not even using recycled paper to make your copies. That's horrible.
That is pretty bad. You're right.
Yes, and you just throw earlier drafts in the trash? I saw that happen with my own eyes. You need this.
Another gift?
No, it's a recycling bin, Chris.
Oh.
I put a little From the Top logo on it, just like the duct tape wallet.
That's great.
And you can just use it on stage.
Just bring it on stage, and there it is.
Yeah.
Very attractive for a bin. It's not a bad idea.
It's a good idea.
Well... okay, please, no more examples of our terrible environmental sins. Besides, Emily, you're not so pure yourself. How about your totally wasteful daily use of a vacuum cleaner and all the energy you burn doing that? Explain that if you can.
Well, I am terrified of spiders, so I make sure that like the ceilings of the house don't have any dust on them, so I make sure I vacuum every day. And I wear earplugs to bed when I go to bed because I don't want spiders crawling in there.
Well, there was a kid in Oregon had two spiders in his
ear. Yes,
head,
there
right?
was a kid in Oregon who had two spiders in his ear.
I hate that. So you're right. And actually, you know, the vacuum cleaner is not just an obsessive thing because you don't really even like the vacuum cleaner. How come?
Yes, because I have perfect pitch, and the vacuum cleaner does not have a pitch, so it drives me insane.
Don't feel bad, Emily. Your contradictions make you a fascinating person.
Thank you.
And the Debussy was so enjoyable, and it was so enjoyable being with you on the show. Thanks for being with us, Emily.
Thank you.
Emily Stearns, 18 years old from Butte, Montana.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from Wilson Auditorium in Bozeman, Montana. Coming up, the essence of Spain is captured by the composer Pablo de Sarasate and by his young interpreter, a teenage violinist from Mallorca. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's program in Bozeman is made possible by the Classics for Kids Foundation and the Hans Sari Memorial Fund. Special thanks to Montana Public Radio and Yellowstone Public Radio. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our 17-year-old roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones, is joining us to present a report on the young musician from here in Montana who's going to perform next. Taja?
Chris is talking about a wonderful 12-year-old harpist named Tess Michelle. I drove to her home in Helena a couple days ago because, well, in order to understand Tess, you've got to understand her family.
My name's Lydia, and I'm 16 years old.
I'm Carlton, and I'm 14 years old.
My name is Tess, and I'm 12 years old.
My name is Olivia, and I'm 10 years
My
old.
My name is Clark, and I'm 8 years
My
old.
My name is Noah, and I am 7 years
My
old.
My name is May, and I'm 5 years old.
I'm Judah Humphrey.
This is Ben, and he's my one-year-old brother.
Come on, Ben, come on.
That's right, 9 kids, and there's another one on the way.
So believe it or not, Mom's going to have another baby. That'll make 10.
Mrs. Michelle, how do you feel about having a tenth kid?
Can I think about it just for a minute?
5 of those kids are old enough to play music. Tessa's sister plays harp too. So you've got 3 harpists, a guitarist, and 7 pianists. This house is noisy. I'm not sure how Mrs. Michelle handles it. It's a madhouse.
I just go in my room and shut the door. I take a time out.
And why the harp? Why 3 harps? Haven't these kids ever heard of the piccolo? I mean, with all the driving around their parents have to do with all those kids, they've got to move harps too?
Yeah, I'm Tessa's dad, and I'm pretty much the roadie for the harp crew here, and we have a Suburban exclusively to help move this harp from place to place because, unfortunately, the harp outweighs Tess by about 10 pounds. It basically is my full-time job.
Now, as if 9, 10 kids weren't enough, the Michelles live on a farm with lots of animals.
We have 3 dogs, and their names are Remus, Orpheus, and Eurydice. We have 2 roosters named Henry and Alabaster, a hen named Brickin. We have 3 rabbits named Desmond, Darling Devil, and Sterling Silver, and 3 more called Dandy, Zippy, and Brownie. 2 goats named Holly and Blossom, 3 llamas named Smoky, Paloma, and Sunrita, 3 horses named Daphne, Lucy, Bobo, 3 cats named Clifford, Clara, and Walter.
Mr. Michelle maintains his sanity with a few simple rules.
Yeah, I have 3 rules to survive in a family of this size. Number 1, there ain't no prima donnas in Montana, which basically means that everybody gets the opportunity to muck out the barn. Number 2 is cowboy up, which is a Montana term for if you don't succeed, try again, and or the bull will run over you. And number 3 is no Rachmaninoff before noon, because it makes Dad edgy.
But then again, there's an upside to all this mayhem. There's lots of good stuff about being in such a large family.
Well, being in a big family is also kind of nice because, you know, there's a lot of people in your family so that, like, you're never alone, and it's never lonely at all.
Yeah, we work on Saturday mornings, our chores, and do a lot of cleaning up stuff around the farm, and We got a lot of people around the house, so we can really take care of the animals.
Well, you know, you learn so much from your kids, and you grow as a person by having kids, period, regardless of how many. And wouldn't see how we could do without any one of them.
You never, ever have a boring moment.
Olivia, what's good about having a lot of brothers and sisters?
Well, you have a lot of people to love, and it's really fun because you have a lot of things to share.
It's just each day is a delight, has its trials, but each day is just full of blessings and it's a joy.
It's a great family, a great story, a great job you did there, Tasha.
Thank you.
Should we bring out our young guest?
Most definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tess Michelle. Tess, welcome. Do you think Tasha's piece was a pretty good snapshot of your family?
Yeah, she did really well.
Very good.
Tess, how in the world does your family go out to eat? I mean, do you ever go out to a restaurant?
Well, sometimes we do, and more than once people have bought our meals for us.
Now, you were telling me, Tess, that you like fast pieces of music a lot more than slow pieces. Why is that?
Well, my mom sometimes calls me a speed demon. And if I have a slow piece, I usually take it faster than it's actually supposed to go.
That's right. Why not? You know, you only live once. So this piece you're going to play is perfect for you. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
I'll be playing Sonatine No. 1 in E-flat major by F.J. Naderman.
Stage is yours. Thank you. Portland to Montana, we heard 12-year-old Tess Michelle playing F.J. Naderman's Sonatine No. 1.
Podcasts from the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Our next performer comes from Spain, from beautiful Mallorca. But for over a year now, he's been studying and living in New York City. Please welcome 17-year-old violinist Francisco Garcia Fulana. Francisco, welcome. As a Spaniard, though, you have an unfair advantage. This piece you're going to play is really, literally in your blood, yes?
Well, yeah, it's one of my favorite pieces. It's Sarasate, Zapateado, and, you know, it's kind of based on flamenco type of dance. So it's really...
Very exciting piece. Yeah. We'll do it together. Sarasate Zapateado, played for us by our violinist from Mallorca, Francisco Garcia Fulana, studying and living now in New York City. It was such a thrilling performance, and with such finesse and such flavor.
Thank you.
Francisco, earlier in the show, the Werner kids played some Boccherini, and they told the story about how they had actually touched Boccherini's cello bow. But you, my friend, can top even that story.
I won a competition 2 years ago in Madrid in the conservatory, and the prize was to perform in the National Hall.
That's like the Carnegie Hall.
Yeah,
in Spain.
It's like the most important hall in Spain, with the Sarasate Stradivarius.
Wow.
Yes. Sarasate, you know, in his will, he had two Stradivarius. He left one to Paris Conservatory and another one to Madrid. And, you know, so it's all security guarded.
I was going to say, do they lend it out often? Or
no. It's like maybe once, twice a year, whoever, you know, wins the competition. And, you know, so it's really like on his will. He really left a specific requirement.
Yeah.
So it can't be out of the conservatory without a security guard and with a professional art mover. So it's like this huge, like 5 feet, 6 feet case.
Yeah.
You know, aluminum just for, you know, for a little box for violin.
So are you practicing on this instrument with an armed guard or something? You know?
I couldn't leave the room without the security guard coming and where the safe was.
Talk about playing with a gun to your head, you know? It's another James Bond moment, sounds like to me. You're from a very beautiful place in Spain. Tell us about Mallorca.
Yeah, it's Mallorca. It's an island, like a Mediterranean Sea. It's one of the most important points of tourism from Germany, Britain. And so it's, you know, it's really, really nice mountains, beach. There's lots of landscape.
Nice. And you're not the only famous person from Mallorca, I understand.
It's Rafael Nadal, who I think everybody knows. It's
a big tennis star.
Number two tennis player in the world right now. So
Have you ever met him?
Yeah, we, you know, a couple of people, including me and him, we won a prize from the government from Mallorca, and you know, I got the opportunity to meet him.
Very, very nice. But now in New York City, I understand the scheduling is a little bit different.
Spain. Yeah, in Spain, like south of Europe, especially Spain, we always have lunch of like after two at least. After two, and we have like 2 hours to for lunch, And after, you know, at night we have dinner at least after 9, 10.
Wow.
And so like even like, you know, there's a concert at 10:30 p.m. for example. There really often there is after like 12:31 you go to dinner.
So it's a real late night kind of place.
Yeah,
very relaxed sort of setting. So New York is a 24-hour city.
No,
big culture shock there,
yeah,
I guess.
No, but it's a great city. I love it.
That's a great thing. Well, it was wonderful playing with you,
Thank
Francisco.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us. And best of luck to you. Francisco Garcia Fulana, 17 years old from Mallorca, Spain, now studying and living in New York City. Well, we promised you a rock and roll encore, so here once again, this time in their sequined outfits, the Werner Family Cello Quartet, ages 13 to 18. We've got Luke at the mic, looking very much like David Bowie. Tell us what you've got in store for us.
Well, we're going to play a medley of some rock standards, the first being Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, the second, Enter Sandman by Metallica, and the third, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Sweet. Again, these are all arranged for the Family Cello Quartet by Lucien Werner. I want to thank all of our great young performers today and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And Werner Kids, complete with shades on, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Our technical director is Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.